Thanks, everyone. Thanks for showing. So I'm Kiran, and I'm going to talk about video, which is the most interesting system. So this is joint talk with my colleague, Dinesh Varadia, Manikanta Kotaru, and our advisor, Sachin Kati, at Stanford University. So we started this research with the following question. Can a Wi-Fi AP trace human motion by simply listening to and mining reflections of its own transmission? So what do we mean by that? So here we have a Wi-Fi AP that is transmitting signal to a standard client. So this signal is also reflected by various objects in the environment, like walls and furniture, and some of this reflection actually comes back to the AP. And this reflection is called the backscatter of this signal. So let's suppose there's also a motion happening nearby. So the moving hand will also reflect some of the energy and produce backscatter. So if the AP could analyze this backscatter and infer the motion of the hand, then such a motion tracing system would be very attractive because of the following reasons. First, the motion tracing is device-free, meaning we do not require any device on the human that we are tracing. Second, the system can work in non-line of sight or even in the dark. And third, such a system can be ubiquitous because Wi-Fi signals are everywhere. So, however, no such systems exist today. So there are systems out there that do motion tracing, but they require the human to have device on them. For example, Nintendo Wii requires handheld remote to do the motion capture. RFID draw requires RFID tag on the human being. Or they are device-free, but they require specialized signals. For example, Kinect requires IR infrared signals, and Y-Track requires specialized radar signal to capture the motion device-free. And neither of these signals are ubiquitous. Or they don't work in non-line of sight at all. For example, vision-based systems like LeapMotion or Kinect require the motion to be in the camera's field of view. So in this talk, I'll describe Video, which is the first device-free human motion tracing system that uses Wi-Fi signal that has none of the limitations of these prior systems. So in building the Video, we make three novel technical contributions. First, we design and build a backscatter sensor at the Wi-Fi AP that can listen to the reflections of its own transmission and then teases apart its reflector's properties such as amplitude, the delay, and the angle of arrival. Next, we invent motion tracing technique that mines the reflector's properties given by the backscatter sensor and then infers the underlying human motion that could have produced that pattern of backscatter over time. So finally, we built a full prototype using Warp software-defined radios, and so experimentally that it is possible to achieve a motion tracing accuracy of up to 7 centimeters. So in the rest of the talk, I will describe the design starting with the backscatter sensor first. So to understand the backscatter sensor's goal, let's look at an example. Here we have an AP and two reflectors. So when the AP transmits the signal x of t, it is going to receive the reflection of these signals from the reflectors in the environment. So its reflections will have certain amplitude alpha, certain delay tau, that is depending on the distance from the AP, and certain angle of arrival theta that is dependent on the orientation of the AP. So the AP actually receives the sum of the delayed and scaled version, sum of the delayed and scaled version of the transmitted signal. And the backscatter sensor's goal is to figure out parameter for each of these reflector using this received environmental reflection. So in other words, it needs to compute the amplitude, the delay, and angle of arrival for each reflector in the environment. So the natural question is, why is it hard? So it's hard because typical Wi-Fi radios have two fundamental limitations that make it hard to extract the properties of each of these reflectors. So they have limited bandwidth and limited dynamic range. So these limitations exist because higher dynamic range or higher bandwidth have exponential relationship with power consumption. So radios will try to limit the dynamic range and bandwidth as much as possible to minimize the power consumption. So let's elaborate on each of these challenges and our proposed solution to mitigate them. So let's first start by discussing the challenges that arise due to the limited bandwidth. So here we have shown two reflectors. reflector 1 and reflector 2, which are almost at the same distance from the AP. Therefore, when the AP transmits the signal, the backscatter from the first reflector, shown here in the white, arrives almost at the same time as the backscatter from the reflector 2, shown here in green. So here the triangles represent the sampling instance of the radio, which is dependent on the sampling bandwidth. And the distance between these triangles indicate the sampling interval. As we can see from this figure, the reflections are closer than the sampling interval. Now, a natural question to ask is, how likely is this in practice? So let's take a look at this table here. Here I'm listing the typical sampling bandwidth that we find in Wi-Fi radio and the corresponding sampling interval. So as you can see, for a 40 megahertz bandwidth, the sampling time is 25 nanoseconds. So Wi-Fi signal travels nearly 4 meters in 25 nanoseconds. So there are two, if there are two reflectors that are within a relative distance of 4 meters with respect to the AP, then we will have the problem that these two reflections are more closer than the sampling interval itself. So in other words, this problem can quite easily happen in practice. So the question is, how do we solve this problem? So our insight is based on the idea that the reflectors in an environment are sparsely located. That is, we don't have a reflector everywhere in the environment. In practice, there will only be a few dominant reflectors. So let's expand on that. So if you recall the overall architecture of the backscatter sensor, what it is receiving is the sum of the delayed and scaled version of the transmitted signal. But remember, we know the transmitted signal, so what we are trying to figure out is the scaling and the shifting factors, given that we know the overall sum and the basic function that's being scaled and shifted. So here's where we can use the empirical observation that the number of reflectors in the environment is sparse. In effect, this means that the number of scaling and shifting factor is a small, finite number. So this is actually a problem that shows up in a wide variety of domains, ranging from face recognition to speech recognition and other areas. Our algorithm is inspired from these areas, and we essentially use a dictionary of known basic signals and then design a learning algorithm to impose the sparsity constraint and then compute the backscatter parameters. But this is not enough, because we still have to tackle the limited range, dynamic range problem. First, let's understand why dynamic range is a problem with an example. So here we have a same Wi-Fi radio transmitting the signal shown here in the red, which is being reflected by the two reflectors. The reflector one is located closer to the radio compared to the reflector two, which is far away from the radio. So because of this, the backscatter from the reflector 2 will be much weaker in strength compared to the backscatter from reflector 1. So in order to capture both of these signals simultaneously, we need the radio with very large dynamic range. And radios with very large dynamic range are not practical because they consume too much power. So the challenge is that we might not even see the backscatter or far away weak reflector due to the limited dynamic range. And therefore, our sparse learning algorithm won't be able to estimate their parameters either. So how do we tackle this problem? So to solve this problem, we invent a new progressive interference cancellation technique. So the basic idea is to progressively estimate backscatter components from strongest to the weakest, and to cancel the strongest component and allow the radio's dynamic range to zoom onto the weaker signals. So I won't get into the detail of the cancellation. It is using the self-interference cancellation techniques that were invented in full duplex radios from our group. But we can assume that we have a black box that can cancel a reflected signal given an amplitude, delay, and the angle of arrival. So let's see how this works with an example. So here's an example of backscatter that a radio might receive from the environment. So we have four reflections, and the strongest reflection is nearly 60 dB stronger than the weakest one. But the dynamic range of the radio is only 40 dB. So our basic algorithm begins by estimating the amplitude, the delay, and the angle of arrival of the first component using the sparse algorithm that we described earlier, and then sends that information to the cancellation block. The cancellation element cancels the strongest backscatter component and enables the radio to shift its dynamic range to focus on the next strongest component. So now we can look at the problem as if there are three reflectors whose properties needs to be determined. So as you can guess, we can repeat the same process recursively until we have estimated all the backscatter components. So just to walk you through, the sparse algorithm will now estimate the parameter of the second reflector, send it to the cancellation block to cancel, and then repeat the process for the third component, and so on. So this completes the design of the backscatter sensor. So to summarize, the combination of the sparse learning algorithm and the progressive interference cancellation enables us to estimate the parameters of its reflectors in the environment despite the limited bandwidth and limited dynamic range of the radios. So one useful abstraction to visualize the data from this backscatter sensor is as frame over time. So each frame corresponds to one Wi-Fi packet, and an AP can collect a sequence of such frames over time. So within each frame, each pixels correspond to one reflector in the environment. So where the x-axis coordinate is the delay of that reflection from the reflector, the y-axis coordinate is the angle of arrival of the reflection from that reflector, and the color intensity represents the amplitude of the reflection. So to be more precise, we have a backscatter frame for every Wi-Fi packet transmission by the AP, and the goal is to infer the underlying motion if it is happening that could have produced this sequence of backscatter frames. So there are two key challenges for motion tracing algorithm to infer the motion based on the sequence of backscatter frames. So first, many static reflectors are present in the environment that clutter the motion that we are trying to trace. Second, even after we remove the clutters from the static reflector, we still need to infer the motion based on the backscatter pixels corresponding to the moving objects. So let's look at each of these challenges and how Wideo solves them. So the first challenge is to identify which of the backscatter pixels belong to the static reflectors in the environment. So this can be done by analyzing sequence of backscatter frames and then identifying which of the pixels are repeatedly present in all the frames. So the collection of such static pixels form the clutter frame. So once the clutter pixels have been identified, we can remove them from each of the backscatter frame to reveal the backscatter pixels that corresponds to the moving object alone. So now the challenge is to take this sequence of backscatter pixels corresponding to the moving objects alone and then to infer the actual motion. So before we discuss the solution, let us first look at how backscatter pixels and motions are related. So motion of an object can be modeled by forming a dynamical system with position, velocity, and acceleration as the parameter. With such a model, if you know the position, velocity, and acceleration of the object at time k, we can predict the position, velocity, and acceleration at time k plus 1. So likewise, if we know the position of a motion relative to the AP, then we can estimate the amplitude, the delay, and the angle of arrival of the backscatter using standard formulations. But the inverse problem of inferring the motion given a backscatter pixel is very hard. This is because the measurements are noisy, which creates inconsistency with respect to the standard formulations. So therefore, to infer the motion that is aware of the noisy nature of the backscatter pixels, we apply a standard technique based on Kalman filter for motion tracing. So here on the right side, we saw the backscatter sensor that generates the sequence of backscatter frames. We first remove the clutter to reveal the frame corresponding to the moving objects alone. So on the left side, we saw the prediction model using the Kalman filter. So where we first estimate the position of the object given its previous position, and we then compute the backscatter pixels for this predicted position based on the standard mapping formulations. So now we can compare the predicted backscatter frame with the measured one and calculate the disparity between them. This disparity is a measure of modeling error in the Kalman filter and can be used to update the parameters of the model, namely the velocity, the acceleration, and position of the moving reflector. So this process is repeated for each new frame that is measured by the backscatter sensor, and by combining the position estimates from this filter over time, we can predict the motion of the object. So for lack of time, I won't go into the detail of Kalman filter, and I refer you to paper for more in-depth description. So this completes the design of the video. So next, let me show you a few experiments from our prototype, which we built using Warp software-defined radios. So here's a picture, and before anyone says it, let me be first one to tell that it's pretty ugly. But the reason is that two major components of this prototype, the progressive cancellation board as well as the backscatter sensor, are implemented using discrete analog components and large FPGA boards. Both of these components can be integrated into much smaller chips, and hopefully that version will look much prettier. So to conduct the motion tracing experiments, we use SPIG hand. So these are model hand that have the same material properties as human hand, and are manufactured by a Swiss company to test RF properties of phones. So the reason to use an artificial hand is that it allows us to do offline measurement of the ground truth of the motion and also repeat the experiment. So whereas doing it with live humans doesn't give us that repeatability and measurability. So we conduct the experiment by placing the hand sequentially on the known motion traces, an example of which you can see it in the figure here. And then we collect the data using the backscatter sensor at each of these locations. We then apply the motion tracing algorithm to trace the motion. So we conduct the experiment by measuring the ground truth motion at 100 different locations in an indoor test bed, and then compare the root mean square error of the traced path by the video with respect to the ground truth. So first, we show the CDF of the root mean square error when a single motion is being performed. So as we can see, video achieves a median error of 7 centimeters. The error is a function of the strength of the backscatter from moving hand, as one might expect. So as the motion happens farther away from the video's AP, the error in the backscatter parameter becomes higher, and correspondingly, the motion tracing error also increases. So however, for a typical distance of 2 to 5 meters, video performs quite accurately. So a natural question is, how well video works if there are multiple motions happening in the environment. So here we show video's capability to trace multiple motions simultaneously. So the x-axis is the number of motions that are happening in the environment, and the y-axis the median tracing error. So as expected, error increases with the number of concurrent motions that are being traced. However, even when there are 5 concurrent motions being traced, video still achieves a usable 12 centimeter tracing error. So let me wrap up here. So video, we believe, is the first device-free fine-grained human motion tracing using Wi-Fi signals. While I talk today about motion tracing system, the key component of this system, the backscatter sensor, has much broader sense of set of applications. So for example, we have used the backscatter sensor to build a very low-power communication link for IoT that works by active backscatter of ambient Wi-Fi transmissions and delivers up to 6 Mbps of throughput without possibly needing any batteries. So this work will be appearing in SIGCOM later this year. So we are also exploring other applications, including gesture recognition, object identification, mapping, and many others, and we would love to hear your feedback on other uses for the backscatter sensors. Thanks again, and I'm happy to take the questions now.
Hi, I'm Sunny at MIT. So you show how you separate reflections that are closer than one sample apart. So what is the closest reflections that you can separate?
So actually, that's a good question, because you know, like if you think about it, there are two dimensions. Like one is the time dimension, and another is the angle of arrival, spatial dimension. Mm-hmm. So what we have found out is, you know, when signals are separated in space, although they overlap, you can isolate them because we are using, because they are coming from different directions. And it's same the other way around as well. So if they are different in time, different angle of arrival, you can separate them easily. But when they are very close to each other, then the algorithm fails at some point. And I believe that was like when you have less than 5 degrees and less than 0.1 nanosecond, then you cannot resolve them together. And but if you think about it practically in those cases, literally those reflections are most probably coming from the same object. So it may not matter for the motion tracing algorithm.
Thanks.
Fadel Adib, MIT, this is super cool work. Can you comment on the computation? Does it work in real time? And
yeah, that's again a good question because as of now, this does not work in real time. Actually, that's an ongoing project on our side. We are trying to make, like, you know, some portion of this works in real time, but others do not. So as a whole, the system is not real time, but we are working on it to make it real time.
Awesome. I look forward to trying it.
Thanks. So these were random experiments in a test bed. So like sometimes they could be close and sometimes they could be 2 to 4 meters away. So they were done in a like room environment, indoor environment of 600 square foot. So they were placed randomly.
And were they all trying the specific shape that you had highlighted?
Yes, they were like the shapes were assigned, pre-assigned to each of these motions. So those would be like, you know, interesting addition because once this system, like as of now, as I mentioned, the system doesn't work real time, so we have to use stop motion to actually figure out, you know, these things. So once this system starts to work in real time, we can do all those, you know, subtleties like where does it actually break. So those testing would become much more feasible. As of now, the experimental procedure is very elaborate that it does not allow us to do those, detail analysis.